Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. Today we're going to be talking about divine guidance. And obviously we're not going to get into all the details, but I do want to touch on some issues that will hopefully inspire you to think about your own beliefs about how God guides us, how he gives us direction, how he makes decisions for us, or even how he teaches us to make decisions for ourselves. We realize that a lot of the things we teach here are different than what you've heard before. And our goal is not to correct other teachings out there. It is simply to put out there what God has showed us and what God has taught us and what we've tested and what we've found works for us. If what you're doing, if the methods you are using to hear from God, to make decisions, to live your life, if they are working for you, that's great. I have no problem with that. Part of the question I would have for you, though, is to define working for you. If you are at rest, if you have confidence that you've heard God clearly, if you know how to test what you hear or the direction you're being given, and that direction is leading you into greater dependence on God, not greater dependence on someone else, but greater dependence on him. If what you are learning and learning about God and learning about yourself even is bringing you into a greater sense of confidence as to who you are and who God is in you and who you are in him, then those things are reflective of what God thinks about you. And odds are much better than that you are hearing from him. Because right there, you know, there are so many voices out there, and we have enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And because we seek God for direction, for answers, we know that that's going to be an area in which we are going to have to be circumspect, be clear about sifting through the choices that are given to us and put in front of us. So let's start with just briefly talking about fleecing. This fleecing is not just about doing, you know, something that we need a specific information, piece of information about. But we have a tendency to use this technique throughout our day, throughout our approach to life even. And what we want to do is get away from that. And in order to start, we have to be able to define what it is and what the problem with it is. But when we're talking about divine guidance, fleecing is a fairly common form of perceived divine guidance through asking God to confirm his instruction by testing him. For instance, Lord, if you want me to do thus and so, the phone will ring in 10 minutes and it will be so and so saying such and such. In other words, if I'm supposed to take this job, they'll offer it within the next hour, or it will be such and such of a salary. Or if I'm supposed to marry this person, this is what will happen. And we are actually playing around with creating our own way of getting God to talk to us. Now, the term fleecing is from the example of Gideon in Judges 6. Most of you know this, but just so we're all on the same page. Gideon asks the Lord to prove that it's him speaking and asks him to perform a miracle twice. First, overnight, Gideon asked God to have the dew fall on the sheepskin, the fleece, but not the ground, so that the ground would be dry, but the fleece would be wet. And God complied. Okay? That's not something that would accidentally happen. There's no coincidence in the world where the fleece would be wet and the ground dry. Then Gideon asked for the reverse the following night, and God again complied. The ground was wet, and the fleece was dry. Now, this was a test that Gideon came up with that was not coincidental, that was not accidental, was not circumstantial. He created and devised a test that if this happened, he would know it could only be done by God. So he created specific circumstances for this his situation. But let's look at this. Before we embrace fleecing as a desirable or effective or even wise method of guidance, let's review some of what went into Gideon's request of God. Now, the first thing we want to talk about is really important. This is where most of us fail in this whole process from the very beginning. In our example of Gideon and this fleecing, Gideon already knew what God wanted him to do. These tests were not about needing direction. Gideon wasn't saying, God, do I do this or do I do that? Or what do you want me to do here? He didn't need direction. Gideon didn't need discernment. Gideon needed encouragement. And God evidently acknowledged Gideon's need. Gideon needed encouragement, and God said, I'll give it to you. Gideon had already had a couple of angelic visitations and had already done some pretty cool exploits. So Gideon knew it was God that was speaking, and that God would honor his request. So this was not even about Gideon's ability to hear God. It's just Gideon needed encouragement. And God said, I'll give it to you. So if you are trying to fleece something, think about this. fleecing is only for encouragement, not for direction, not for discernment, not for judgment. It's, God, if I'm going in the right direction type of thing, rather than what do you want me to do? It's after the decision has been made, after you've heard from God. And shall we better say, if you're an Old Testament prophet, if you're an unspiritual person, this works for you, whether you're a Christian or not. And we'll get into that some other time. But second, so first, remember, Gideon already knew what God wanted him to do. Second, God recognized he needed encouragement, and that encouragement came in the form of a bona fide miracle. This was something that Gideon came up with. Gideon came up with. God didn't come up with this. God didn't decide, okay, he needs encouragement. I'm going to send an angel. He'd already done that. God didn't decide, okay, I'm going to make him into a courageous person. I'm going to snap my fingers. I'm going to give him dreams. It wasn't God deciding. This is what will encourage Gideon. Gideon did it. Gideon decided, if God does this, I know he'll be with me. Gideon came up with the test. And it came in the form of something that was not circumstantial. It wasn't the phone ringing. It wasn't the job offer coming through at the right price. It wasn't your boyfriend or girlfriend agreeing to marry you. It wasn't all the circumstances lining up. That's part of the world system. That happens to Christians and non-Christians alike. Not to say that it's meaningless, but the meaning doesn't come from the act. The meaning comes from asking God, hearing him. Whether the circumstances line up or not is irrelevant. Because there's going to be times in your life when the circumstances won't line up, and God will want you to do it anyway. Not because the circumstances are against you, but because he says, go in this direction. Do this. This is the way for you. And not because all the circumstances line up. This is probably one of the biggest downfalls organized religion has. This notion that if you are hearing what God is doing, if you are believing the right things, then everything will be hunky-dory for you. It's exactly the opposite. Odds are, when you start really hearing God, your enemies, the world, your flesh, and the devil will all be against you. And that's when the battle begins. You don't enter into rest because there's no warfare. You bring your rest with you as you join the battle. So that comfort, that peace, that rest is internal, has nothing to do with the circumstances, has nothing to do with the state of your soul either, whether you understand what you're going through, whether you think you've made the right choices, what your emotions are doing. None of those has anything to do with the victory. You can be depressed and right in the middle of a victory. So in Gideon's example, the encouragement came in the form of a miracle, something that could not have happened without direct supernatural intervention. Not a matter of timing. And so much of us, you know, we look for a sign. We look for, and we'll get into that some other time as well. We look for a confirmation in the form of reading into our circumstances. Well, that it may happen. God may use that. But that's not fleecing. That's not testing. That's being aware of what God is doing in your circumstances, in your situation. And he may do it once in your entire lifetime, whatever it is. Seeing a rainbow, when you're wondering, you know, when somebody just dies and you see a rainbow, and God may say, you know, that's your mother saying goodbye. That may be exactly right for you, and he may never have done that for anybody else in the world. The point is, we need to be checking in and aware of him at all times. He's the center of our walk. And again, being able to hear him and being able to test what we're hearing, that's what our goal is. Because the goal isn't making the right decision. The goal is, who are you going to make the right decision? Along with that is developing judgment. Remember, you are a son of God. You're learning to rule and reign here. Part of that is developing your own ability to make decisions. The closer you are spiritually and soulically, the more your flesh is removed from your soul and your soul and spirit joined together, odds are the less direction you're going to get from God. Because your soul is joining to your spirit and will automatically know the way to go. But you're going to have to be free to learn to make mistakes. Trial and error is going to be a lot of the ways you learn this. Hopefully, we are all learning this together, but from previous generations, so much gets lost from one generation to the next, and there's a backlash from religious circles, and again, from the world, from our flesh, and from the devil. So, for Gideon, the encouragement came in the form of a miracle without the direct it could not have happened without the direct supernatural intervention of God. Third, Gideon was not presumptuous in telling God that he needed encouragement. He recognized who he was and what he needed. He was probably tired. It was probably scary. I mean, when you look at the story of who this guy was, he was not a born leader. And the times he was living in, it was not clear God was going to be doing something. God just said, okay, I'm going to be doing something. Gideon, you're it. And he started doing something. And I suspect Gideon was just getting tired. Again, he'd been doing exploits. But he said, now I need encouragement. What we don't want to do is be telling God how to encourage us. I sometimes wonder if God puts us right in these situations where we are drained, where we are tired, where we are at the end of our own strength, our own understanding. And we take it upon ourselves to figure out, okay, when I'm down like this, what energizes me? Oh, a vacation. Or listening to worship songs. Or, this, that, or the other thing, talking to so-and-so. When God would love to be able to express his own creativity and do something unique and different just for you. So God does not commend Gideon for the way he tests him. God does not say, okay, from now on, when someone needs encouragement, they should fleece. No. This is simply an example of how much God loves Gideon. That even if something is ridiculous, impractical, uneventful, unmeaningful, this had no bearing on anything, whether the fleece was wet or dry. The only thing it did was encourage Gideon. But you know what? That was enough for God. God said, Gideon, if this is what you think you need, I'll do it for you. Now think about that. Angels had come to Gideon. God had moved on his behalf in other ways. And yet what was going to really encourage Gideon was a wet fleece, sheepskin. Let's call it a blanket. A wet blanket on the dry ground is what Gideon needed to encourage him. God knew what was going on with him, though. And it's a testament of his love for Gideon that he simply did it. He said, okay, if this is what will encourage you, I'll go along with it. So, it's a testament of God's love that God complied with Gideon's tests. It's not a credential. It's not a testament of Gideon's wisdom. This is one of the problems we have is we use these illustrations and we go, okay, if they're recorded in the Bible, they must be an example of how we should do things, of good ideas. And a lot of times it's exactly the opposite. Don't do this. Don't try this at home. So we want to ask God, is this what you want me to be looking for in my life? So our goal is not to learn what techniques work best to get God to guide us. But to recognize that our God-given need for his direction is used by him to get our attention, to train us, to teach us. He's given us that desire to not make a mistake. He uses that to remove the barriers between our soul and our spirit. To teach us how to hear him, to teach us how to test what we hear. It's a training ground. It's an obstacle course. As we proceed, we find that a lot of the things God has for us when it comes to divine guidance are a lot more practical than we thought. We're just going to rush through a couple of just general points when we talk about methods of guidance, not what was available to the Old Testament, Old Covenant followers, believers, but what's available to you and I. So the first is providence. Or circumstance. This is an unconditional guidance in which God acts sovereignly without any requisite. for such guidance, and regardless of our relationship with him. So for this is for non-believers and believers alike. All things, all circumstances are under his complete control. This form of guidance is most obvious to us after the fact. When we look back over our lives, when we look back over that decision, we see how certain doors were closed, certain people came into our lives, we made certain decisions. This is the way very often God spends most of his life interceding in our life, intervening in our lives. Second is law or morality, in which the law of the land, whatever land you're in, and the social, cultural guidance, it governs the natural realm in which you live. And the consequences of breaking the law or going against your social and cultural mandates, there are consequences for those. Morality is cultural. What is acceptable and right in one culture may not be acceptable and right in another. And God is much less easily offended than we think he is. We'll get into this some other time in greater detail. But also, finally, there's instruction. God gives us instruction. God gives us direction. God instructs us about his ways. God teaches us to apply his ways. God tests us to reinforce his ways. Then finally, there's knowing him, experiencing him. As we follow his training course, he reveals himself to us and through us. Regardless of the means or method of guidance, though, our response is always to take back the lesson, take the lesson and the application to the Lord for his review and feedback. Talk to him about what happened there. For instance, if you are looking back over your life and you see the hand of the Lord making this decision, making that move, not taking this job, let him talk to you about it. Especially when there's stressful situations. Very often we have to give them time, because we can't hear clearly when our emotions are running rings around our senses. Let him have an opportunity to speak to you. And don't assume you know what he's going to say. A lot of times we go, Lord, where did I miss you there? This bad thing happened because I missed you. Where did I miss you? He's like, you didn't miss me. I was right there all the time. Sometimes bad things happen. Don't read into it. I mean, we look at the disasters happening around the world. Part of our problem is that we think that this is the only part of existence that matters. It isn't. God had something going on in your life before you were here on this earth. And all those people, it's heartbreaking and sad to see the disasters and people born into these terrible situations where there's no freedom. And we all want what's best for people. God says, I know what's best. And the people in these other countries, they are God's responsibility. Unless he makes them yours, there's nothing, unless he gives you something to do regarding them, you're off the hook. Focus on the assignment he's given to you, and he will take care of everything else. So hopefully this helped a little bit. Again, there's just so much we need to talk about in this area. If you've got any questions or comments, your feedback is always welcome at diane@beaconprepared.org. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk again soon. Thank you.